Juggler.
Hello, this is Transduction Signal on Dub Lab Radio, and I'm your host, Travarsi, along with Orly Gal. Join us each month on Dub Lab Radio for our show, Transduction Guest, and they will share their journey, their art with all of you. They'll give us a short breakdown of their setup. We'll listen to an amazing performance, and we get to talk about all that good stuff. Orly, who do we have this month? Hey.
Today, this month, we have Jade, aka Van Bassett. She hailed from LA to Berlin since completing her systems architecture mission with NASA. The experienced designer, producer, and sonic alchemist creates journeys that transcend time, space, and genre. I'm super excited to have her with us.
Me too. Let's get her in here. What's up, Jade?
Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
I have so many questions, even though I've known you for a long time. So I'm so happy to have you here. But before we get into all that good stuff, we want to play and share your performance. Do you have anything you want to say, or should we just jump right into it?
I would just say jump right into it.
All right. Then on that note, everybody, let's hear it. This is Vamp Acid.
Don't.
You
That was awesome. Awesome.
I love the vocals.
Yeah. Sorry, thank I had you. To move that so I could see you guys. Yeah, no, like all of it, like I love the whole 90s acid group, but it's like had these grooves, and then that second to last song had like that trance kind of, but throwback trans style. Like, yeah, it was sick.
Thanks.
What are you using? I saw a couple of things that I recognize, but let's go into detail there.
Yeah, for those who can't see, give us like a rundown of,
sure,
you know, not super super deep, but just what you have on the table.
I'm using a Digitact by Electron for my groove box and my samples, which replaced the TR-8 that I used to use to get this classic like Detroit and Chicago sound. I'm using a Minilog XD module by Korg that I first used in Chicago for KnobCon. So it's just the keyless version of the Minilog. It's pretty super, like a very dynamic range with the sound. And cool. Has some nice 90s tweakable stuff. A couple of pedals, like distortion, and then a little, like for the classic acid on top of the 303, and then a little delay reverb pedal to give some trance vibes to the 303 in addition to the just acid stuff. A little TD3. For the acid, and then some vocals with a pedal. So that's the current setup.
How often does it change?
Not so often. As far as the setup goes, I did a big setup change so that I could get ready to play out in the States to do a little mini tour. I do change the live, like the actual sound, quite frequently because I do some improvisation and I mix things up. But I also used to DJ more. So it's kind of, I love the transitions and it makes it more interesting for me as a performer.
Yeah, they were very smooth. Great. Thanks. Transitions. Yeah, yeah.
What'd you end up taking to the States?
I took the same setup that I just mentioned, except for the distortion pedal, because I was just using the distortion on the 303. So, yeah.
They didn't give you any issues to come in and out?
No, I mean, I had that stuff super tight. Like, I got it insured. Nice. I followed up with them. I was, like, staring the people down in the airport, like, don't lose my stuff.
Right.
Yeah, and, I mean, that probably, I don't know if that works, but I got a little bit lucky at least to get there.
Yeah, I've had some mishaps from the Berlin airport. We won't go in there, but yeah.
me too. But I remember that.
Yeah. So the States. So I don't want to go deviate too far. We can always, anyway, States. You played KnobCon, Patched Out.
Yeah.
So KnobCon outside of Chicago, mm-hmm. Great show.
It was so great.
Yeah, so much fun. Tell us, what was your favorite part about that?
Getting to see you was one of my favorite parts. Hanging out with you and Alex and the crew, checking out the gear, and then just the show, performing with other very talented and interesting artists. And yeah, being able to handle those super bright, multicolored lights in my face. That was also, yeah. I wouldn't say that was favorite, but I was like, I can do this.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Being together with the community was really cool and getting to know some more people and being able to play too, you know?
Nice. Nice.
Do you end up going to New York to play as well?
No, not yet. I was connected with someone at New York Modular Society, and he said, if I'm in New York, then I can play. So reminds me, I need to try and set up another little tour, do some more shows.
Yeah, come back into LA to play a show here.
I would love to. I want to see you, both of you. It would be amazing.
Very cool. I actually, before we move away from the setup, so I want to talk a little bit about that. So just for those who didn't see, you were playing some of the songs from your latest release, right?
Yeah.
Psychogenic Love. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Psychogenic Love. Okay, cool. I want to ask you about your process when you're thinking about writing music, then you know you're going to play it live. What's your thoughts on that? You're like writing songs, because it's great because people get to know you as an artist, right? Like, I recognize a song like that I'm going to be doing a remix for you for.
Yay.
But you know what I mean? Like, what is the process, I guess, behind that? Like, choosing that route?
Sure.
I know it's a loaded question.
It's okay. No, I like these questions. So I knew in the beginning that I wanted to be able to play as a solo artist and just pick up a show on a whim or, you know, have less dependencies, right? And I wanted to have like be able to focus creatively. So the project came to me when I was actually, it was like a bit of a tunnel, like a darker period in my life. And the music was what woke me up. You know, it was what got me out of bed. It helped me to focus. It helped me to get through a lot of things, as I think that's probably quite natural for artists. It's how you can express and process things that you can't with like traditional means, for instance. And I would just start getting these fragments coming to me in dreams, or I would hear a song and then want to listen to it and then be like, oh, I haven't written it yet. That still happens. So when I'm around water, for instance, I hear lyrics, song titles come to me, melodies, etc., and sometimes like a full arrangement. So I record into my phone or a field recorder, and I just jot everything down. So to arrange this album that I released a couple of years ago, Psychogenic Love, it was kind of, you know, this darker period, this dystopian ballads, you know, and I put it together in kind of it's like there's a start and there's a finish, you know? And I wanted to make sure that I would be able to play that live before I released it. I wouldn't have to hire a band or like a keyboard player, a synthesist, whatever.
Totally.
So yeah, that's still what happens. It comes to me in fragments. I write it down and then I go back over my ideas, you know?
So you write it. So when you are actually creating the music, like the stems and the parts or what have you, mm-hmm. you write it on the instruments in a flow that you could then take those parts and like play them out, for example, right?
Yeah, exactly. And to get like before I recorded the album, like when I was putting together all those little fragments and like into mm-hmm. this collage, right? I would just do jam sessions and then record them line in with my field recorder, which is quite good. I do that for shows. I'd listen back and then say, oh, I like this here. This is pretty, like, this is grooving. I like this. This sounds like old, you know, like Detroit techno or Chicago house or something. This is bouncy. I like this. And also that's why I chose originally to work with the TR-8 and the Minilog. Because the Minilog kind of had some of this like house stuff going on, and acid and trance and et cetera. So I was feeling kind of like late 80s, 90s. And same with the TR-8. It's, you know, like 606, 707, 808, 909, et cetera, like with this expansion pack.
Right, right.
But yeah, so I spent a lot of time practicing and then I got a deadline and I got sponsored by Music Board Berlin to do this album. And I gave myself a deadline after just feeling it was taking so long to get this together, but it was the right time. And I pumped out the recording myself with the tracking the vocals in a couple of days by myself. And then my friend did the mastering for me.
That's pretty sick. I want to, like, before we move away from all of the actual equipment that you use, how did you get to, you know, start in your live journey and choosing all that and getting into like, this is my core pieces, this is where I want to go? Because I know that your influences are pretty obvious to the 90s and acid and maybe punk. I know you have a super interesting upbringing, so we'll get into that later, but first gear.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So the gear, I went to Superbooth in Berlin the year that I moved here in 2016, and I saw the Minilog, and I was like, I love this. It was between the Minilog and like the Micro Brute, and I think the Base Station, which I also have now by Novation. What's up? and the Base Station too. Yeah, so I played around with it, and I fell in love with it. I was like, this is exactly what I want. Because I was also looking at the Roland Gaia or something, because I was like, this is cool. It's like Electric Light Orchestra. But with the Minilog, it was just pretty straightforward. And I brought that in, and I felt a strong connection to it. And then with the TRE, it's super fun to play. And you can do like live programming and live drumming, and there's all these effects, and it's just really fun, you know? So that was, and then the voice pedal I was using was a TC Helicon voice live play or something. And it had, you know, like full on electro, like Egyptian Lover, like vocoder sound effects, which I used to use for one of my songs. Yeah, it had a lot of options, but the thing was a tank, so I downsized to go out to Chicago. So
very cool. You know, Orly has like ulterior motive, because she's like in the spot where you were, like, so this is awesome, you know, like,
yeah,
she comes from the background too of playing live, you know, instruments, guitars, drums, bass. She's a bassist. I'm speaking for you, Orly, because I want to toot your horn for you for a second. She's awesome. But, you know, she's right where, like, so this is good info for not only you, Orly, but for those out there listening, you know, like, how do you want to be a true one person band and, like, play your own own tracks? You know what I mean? Like, what is it, improv, or do you want to play songs where people can go out and know, hey, I'm gonna hear like my favorite track by this artist, you know? So it's always interesting to see like that.
Yeah, and the fact that you're able to like actually, you know, go from brain to physically putting everything into instrument and be able to recreate, because there's a lot of artists, live artists, that just play live and it's never recorded, and it's never like, it's what it is, you know.
That's and me, so a lot of time.
Like, so the fact that you can actually go back and recreate what you did is like super important to be able to actually record an album.
Yeah, I think a lot of artists struggle with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and some that never end up releasing anything because they're so in the box, for instance, with Ableton or something. And I spent a lot of time in Ableton and Cubase and Logic and Pro Tools and blah, blah. And that used to be a big interest for me. But I always found a passion with synthesizers and knobs. And, you know, all types of stuff that you could mess around with, because I'm a very tactile person. Like, I come from a couture fashion design background also. So I love making things, and I love DIY and changing. And I used to play my live set like kind of more how it was on the album. But then as I changed, the music changed, the sound changed, and my identification with myself and the music. So there's this relationship, you know, like each place you play at, it's a different relationship that you have between how you're feeling with yourself, the people that are there, the space, the sound. And then I just started each show changing it a little bit, you know, and being like, this is fun, and then learning something new. And the whole thing about live performance is it's a learning experience, and it's a passion and, you know, the thing that still gets me out of bed in the morning, like, or the afternoon, depending on what day it is. You know.
Cool. Okay. One question before we move away from there, just really quick. After you've written your songs, do you two track record or do you stem record or what do you?
I usually stem record. I 8-track record the first setup I did into my I'm working with the RME Fireface UC interface I got off of reverb.com. What's up? hey Fez.
You're right.
And then I recorded into Ableton. And then I just like scooched it over to my friend who did the mastering and stuff. He goes by the Neon Liberal.
Very
nice,
cool.
Nice guy out in Berlin from the UK. Makes really cool music too.
Nice, nice. We'll have to drop his link in your description.
Sure.
Cool. All right. So Orly, you have questions. Go.
A million. Where do we start?
I know.
Can we start? Well, first of all, let's start in the beginning. You're coming from, I want to say, San Francisco to LA to Berlin. How did this happen? And how did that influence your musical journey?
That's a loaded question. No, that's it's not even loaded. It's like one's offended here.
We're on a time schedule here.
Yeah. Bullet point that. Like.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So I came from punk, industrial, goth, electronics scenes, right? Like ever since I got into that kind of stuff when I was like 11 years old, had an older brother, was listening to the stuff he was listening to. Of course, I'm influenced by, him and his friends and subculture, like when it was subculture. When I lived in San Francisco, I did some like a little bit of radio stuff. And then I started writing poetry, I saved all of the poems, and I ended up using some of the poem work as lyrical content when I had a little punk band. And then I carried it over into some of the stuff that I wrote. But when I was in Los Angeles, like the San Francisco Bay Area, I got invited to go out to the Bogo Tracks, this big festival out in Colombia. It's like underground. There were a bunch of European and South American and a couple of American DJs and live performers there. And I was in my early 20s and I like lost my mind there. I was like, this is the coolest stuff ever. It was like the rave scene. It was underground. It was like the coolest thing ever at the time, I was like, what is this? And then I moved, I was going back to the Bay and my train just drove by me when I was waiting for it. So I was like, okay, I guess I'm going to stay at my mom's house another night. And then she was like, you should go to school, la la la, and sorry, mom. I ended up moving to LA because of this whole thing, like missing the train, like what? Okay. And I met some people through the connections I'd made in Colombia and that I had in San Francisco, and fell into the rave sound scene in LA a bit. And I was hanging out with some people from like Dark Matter Sound Systems and Friendly Integration and Detroit Underground and this kind of stuff. And I got a little microcorg and was messing around on that. I started taking some workshops and classes and learning like music production and helping a bit with throwing some parties and partying, of course. I just kept going with it. And then later on in Los Angeles, I think around the time that we met maybe is when I started like throwing this party Gold Cell over at the Lash, was DJing more again. And I couldn't quite find my sound, and then when I moved out to Berlin, it kind of like broke away a lot of things I thought I knew, I'm in a foreign country and of course there's lots of expats and stuff, but everything is different. It's like you have to learn everything over again. And the parties here were like the raves I was going to, you know, just like a party that anybody that's, I don't know, 18 and up can go to in Berlin. And I definitely got influenced by the sound and by the super booth. Hello, Schneiderslautern. love your new location. And I just kept going with it and going to workshops and going to like free events that like Open Music Lab was doing about acoustics and systems, sound systems, and Native Instruments was doing some workshops. I went to this cool one with Lady Starlight where she was like explaining what she was doing when she was doing the modular and the Eurorack. And then I eventually started falling for like, oops, like Eurorack stuff.
Right.
Like getting like a little dog, you know, like Eurorack. But so I'm still doing the research for that to not going down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
But that's like, that's just, let's just say that's the next step. That's like my next long-term relationship, I think.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. I know you, I did that workshop there and you were there. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
That was super fun. Yeah. Yeah. But I love these synth conventions. It's so much fun. It's like, it's like, I feel like I'm a kid, you know, like going to summer camp or something. It's awesome. So cool. The people that you meet.
It's great, yeah. Jade. Cause like, I mean, we've known each other for 10 years, almost 10 years, almost 10 years.
So, I was blonde.
Yeah. You were blonde. Yeah. It's a new time. Yeah.
Things were very,
you know, but I never knew, you know, so this is great to have you here because I didn't know the beginning parts. You know, when you hang out with people, it's like when things don't come up, you don't ask the right questions basically, or like you just kind of, you know, so that's cool.
That's what I'm here for.
Yep.
Yeah.
So no, but I wanted to actually focus on why did you move to Berlin and how long did it take you to actually break into the scene out there?
Good question. Okay, so ever since I was in Colombia, I guess, I wrote some journal entry about maybe moving to Berlin one day because I met some people that were living out here. And so I'm guessing since then, that was like 2008 or something I was out there. And I kept thinking about it and it kept coming up with music. And I started working with like tech design and UX, UI and doing this music stuff. And I really just wanted to push myself. And I felt that it was the time to take a chance on myself and grow as a person. And I had the opportunity to move out to Berlin. And I thought it would be the great place for music and design and everything. And, you know, I used to study art history too. So I wanted to be close to, ancient architecture, for instance, because that's also a passion of mine. And I got a little gig, doing some freelance stuff for NASA for systems architecture and UX and some project management. And that was also kind of the push because I felt, okay, so this will help me to get more work out in Berlin. You know, like I'm changing careers from doing like couture fashion and teaching product design and stuff. And I'm going into UX and it was just the right time. I was like quite a bit younger and, I just went for it. And then to break into the scene, I mean, I met some people that I knew through someone on SoundCloud that was an artist the first week I was here. And they were playing over at like Vilda Renata or something. And I went to a couple of parties, but I was just, you know, I immediately met other people who were making music. So I kind of just fell into this Dallas, like live performance stuff and went to workshops and et cetera. And then, you know, eventually I started meeting more people that were doing live work or live music that was Dallas and then a lot of Eurorack artists. So it's just, I don't know, I guess you attract where you're at kind of and your interests. Yeah.
There's so many good artists there too. Like,
oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you been able to also DJ or are you just doing live stuff in Berlin?
I DJed a little bit, but it wasn't like so much my passion as live performances. So that's more what I've been focusing on. But I've also been working on some collaborations, and I'm working on new stuff for myself. So I really would like to play more shows out here. It's just kind of, it's really like about who you know and who knows you, you know?
Yeah. Got it.
So I'm hoping.
Yeah, we're both like, yeah.
You know, because you're both artists too. And so I'm hoping some nice people will invite me, or maybe when you guys are out here, we could do something together.
That'd be very cool.
That'd be sick. Yeah.
Yeah.
For booth, or that would be rad.
Nice. I think, are you doing a collaboration with Joseph? Are you from Raw Industries or?
Yeah. we're both like slowly starting on it and like passing back and forth some, you know, stems trading and stuff.
Okay.
Slowly. Cool. Yes. That is one collaboration I'm excited about, because also he's a friend of mine. So it's
by the way, we're supposed to do the Naked Tea Party album coming up.
Oh yeah.
Are you going to do that?
Yeah, we're all going to do that.
We're all doing it.
We're like, all
that
was doing
the agreement from the.
did I get in my part of this? Did I get sucked in because I was at the party?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Everybody has to contribute to this album, especially everyone that was at that party.
The Naked Tea Party. That's a good idea. Yeah, I'm down. Yeah. I'm down to clown with the Naked Tea Party.
And just for reference, if people are wondering how we got that, Joseph has an amazing roommate, and he likes to paint, doesn't he say he liked to paint in the nude or something like that?
Well, he throws naked tea parties. That's how this all.
Oh yeah,
And
there you have it. Now there's an album title, and now we have to do it.
Yeah.
Something, whatever happens in Joseph's place stays in Joseph's place.
Well, I guess not now, but yeah. Sorry, Joseph.
I know, right? We love Joseph, though, so it's all good. Shout out to Raw Industries Collective. So influences. Let's talk about it. I mean, like Miss Kitten, I'm seeing Lords of Acid blend.
A couple of people mentioned these other artists saying that I sound like them. And I, of course, used to listen more to Miss Kitten, now Kitten and The Hacker and Golden Boy and stuff. And my brother turned me on to them quite a long time ago when I was living in San Francisco. And Lords of Acid, I first heard them when I was like 14 or 15 in my brother's car. And I was like, whoa, this is sick. It's super dirty. I love it.
Yeah.
You know, but it's coming from this whole like new beat acid house scene. And I like out of, you know, Belgium and the Netherlands. And so that's a big influence for me. Like the new beat acid house, like the sound of the 80s, sound of Belgium. Synth pop, industrial electro. I love me some good electro. Those grooves are so fun to dance to. Mm-hmm. And it just puts you in such a nice mood, you know? And yeah, and I mean, even I love some hip hop stuff. And I came also from the kind of like goth and punk, like what I talked about earlier. But I listen to World, I listen to 60s Turkish garage. Like I listen to so many different styles of music, and I grew up with a lot of music in the home from my mom and my dad. And my mom was listening to the Shirelles and doo-wop and Motown, and my dad was listening to, you know, rock and metal. And then my brother was into all this 80s stuff, and then my sister R&B and, you know, soul. And so I had a lot of music around me all the time.
That's great. That's good to get all the flavors, all the influences, you know, you can take pieces.
Yeah. And even when I was a little kid, I remember we'd go to like a street fair or something, and I would stumble upon, there was this Greek artist I found when I was like 10 or something. And I thought it was so cool. You know, this, her beautiful voice and the music was so nice. And yeah, I love music so much, and to discover new music is like, you know, and then to have friends who make really cool music like you guys, it's like super awesome.
Oh, thanks.
I want to get into something that caught my eye in your bio. Well, a couple things caught my eye. First of all, you use a lot of words like having posthumanism, which can we, what is that and how does that embody into music? Because thinking it is one thing, but how does that translate into sound?
Yeah. So it's kind of going with this dystopian future that we're, you know, heading towards, kind of living in a way where we're all online right now, right? We're all together, but we're once removed, you know? And so this distance that we have from each other, I think, especially in the last several years, has, I think it's for one, changed people. It changes the scope of the music and how people interact in the clubs, for instance, like how they interact with each other. How I interact with my machines. And it's like we have, like, AI is doing so much work for us, and like the intelligence that's beyond ourselves, it's computer based, like with this, you know, computer music, like the machines, they're analog, but they're also digital. So they're like computer machine, like computer instruments, right? Mm-hmm. In a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
So yeah, it's just, because I remember when things were very different, you know, and like you want to hang out with someone, you go knock on their front door, you call them up on your landline, right? You pass them a note in class. Mm-hmm. And now there's so much like the phone, the interface, we're buried in this interface, right? Yeah. So that's kind of what that's addressing, and with some of the music that I've written as well.
That's super cool. Mm-hmm. I also saw that you are trying to create a catalyst for empowerment and equality. How is this also connecting to all that?
Yeah, that's a good question. So as a female identifying artist, I think I'm still one of the few and far between, you know, like there's marginalization that that female or non-binary or non-cis male, let's just say, have lots of male friends, by the way, but just like the down low on stuff, we experience different things, and it can be more difficult to break into the industry and to do music and play shows because of just the world that we still live in, realistically. And so I hope that by, you know, being a solo artist and teaching myself and, you know, creating music, that I can inspire other people who maybe feel like they can't do it, or they don't have access, by sharing like, this is how I did it, you know, through like roots and DIY and stuff. And yet that music can be accessible for everybody, you know?
Amen.
Yeah, I like it. Yep.
Absolutely.
I believe in that too. 100%. Nice. Well, as we're like, kind of, we have a few minutes as we're approaching the hour, like, what would you recommend to somebody who wanted to start playing their music live? Like, what would you recommend? Do you have any advice that you want to share?
Sure. I would first ask that person or those people to find out why they want to do it. Like, ask yourself, why do I want to make music? And what does it mean to me? How important is this to me? And then to figure out like what their current skill sets are. Like if they've learned to play piano as a kid, or if they play guitar, or if they're good with software, etc. Like the skill set, look at that. And see if they're interested in going to workshops or YouTube tutorials or anything that can give them the skills that they're missing or that they're looking for, and to try to have a focused approach, but to have fun and do it because they want to, not because they think it's the thing they should be doing. And to really think about how much time do I have to do this, and to try not to put so much pressure on themselves and to think like, oh yeah, I'm going to be on some super big label because I want to be, and to try to like manage their expectations, but just to like cut some slack on themselves, or give themselves some slack in regards to like how much they can actually do as one person. And if that one person would want to work with other people, and yeah, how much time, the resources they have, you know, if they have any gear they can borrow or trade, if there's anyone that can mentor them. I think mentorship is really important when you're trying to learn a craft, especially in a very competitive sphere.
That's so true. I'm like, yes, I love everything you're saying. Sorry, continue.
No, it's cool.
Because most people are like, the gear, you know, which I, you know, people ask me too, like, oh, and they focus on the gear, but everything you said is really like fundamentally important, but it's often overlooked. I mean, you know what I mean? Like really asking yourself those questions, like why, and mentorship, those, everything you said, but those two things really stick out for me, what you're saying.
Yeah.
Great advice, you know?
Thanks. And if you have, I mean, if you have the skrilla, like the cash, you can get the gear, or if you can borrow it from someone, or, you know, do a trade or find it on like Reverb or eBay or Schneider's or anywhere, you know, it's
right,
like
right.
You can get the gear and you can watch tutorials, and anybody can make music with the machines, because the machines do a lot of work for you, right? right? You just like, you're playing with your machines. But to see, like, what do you want to get out of this? And then, do you want to play shows? Do you want to be a live artist? Do you just want to work in Ableton and make stems? Like, how do you want to work? What's your workflow going to be like? And then, yeah, like, because for me, for instance, it's something that I started really small with, but music was always in my life. That was the common thread, my relationship to music. And then it became like a source of, like a daily reprieve for me, you know, like my Zen den, where I could like lose myself and feel safe and feel like, okay, all is good and well. Right.
Right.
So, my advice to anyone who's trying to break into doing live music would be to just, you know, start small. And if you want to go down the gear route, just like check out some tutorials, talk to some people, look on, you know, Reddit or different forums, or use like some AI, you know, to do some research and see what you vibe with. Go down to the music shop.
Exactly. Get your hands on some stuff.
Yeah.
It's all really, really great advice. Like, yeah, appreciate it. We really appreciate you being on the show too.
Yeah, I have another million questions for you, but we don't have time.
So we'll have to do a part two at some point.
Yeah.
That'd be sweet. I really appreciate it. It's been really nice seeing both of you and being able to share some experience and strength and hope.
And hope. Yep. All right. On that note, thank you so much, Jade, aka Vamp Acid, for being on the show. Appreciate it. This is Transduction Signal. I'm Traversi.
I'm Orly Gal.
Talk to you next month.